Florida is having a hard time finding and keeping teachers. Hello and welcome to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. At the start of this school year, there were 4,063 teacher openings across the state, that according to the Florida Education Association. They estimate that potentially a quarter of a million students started the year without a permanent teacher. Florida universities have cited that enrollment in education is down. Teacher unions are asking voters to accept property tax increases to improve teacher pay. And add to that, different teacher groups in other states have been striking and pushing lawmakers to invest more in education. Are we seeing a social shift in the way we view and treat the teaching profession? Today on Sundial, we're devoting the entire program to teachers and understanding the challenges they face daily in teaching our kids. That's coming up on Sundial. First, the news. Hello and welcome to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Thanks so much for joining us. So, when was the last time that you spoke to your child's teacher, or any teacher for that matter? How well do you know that teacher? And what do you know about the challenges they face every single day? Well, today on Sundial, we're devoting the entire hour to understanding that question. What's it like being a teacher today in Florida? And we have teachers from the four districts of South Florida, and we also want to hear from you. Whether you're a teacher, you're thinking about becoming a teacher, you're retired, you're a parent, and you've got questions. Give us a call, 800-743-9576. Again, that's 800-743-9576. You can also find us. We have a post on Facebook. Just look us up, WLRN Sundial, and share your thoughts. Now, we already heard from some teachers, like Willie H. in Oakland Park. He says this: this year has been more stressful than others. It started off with Irma. Lots of students left the state, came back at various times. It felt like once we got back into a routine, Stoneman Douglas occurred. Working in Coconut Creek, we were seriously impacted by that. It really took until the end of the year to get a feeling of normal. Now, he goes on to say, I'm looking forward to see the students' involvement and student voices that grew out of the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas situation. Their activism is incredible, and students need to be active and involved and not passive observers. What I'm dreading is partisan fighting about guns in schools and attacks on school resource officers. People outside of schools making decisions is not good. Let me introduce the teachers that we have for today. First, joining me here in the studios in downtown, LaShonda West. She teaches at Cutler Bay Senior High School here in Miami-Dade. LaShonda, such a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Also joining me is Amy Jacobson, a teacher at Seminole Middle School in Broward County. She's joining us from WXEL in Boynton Beach. Amy, it's such a pleasure.
Thank you.
And also joining us from WXEL is Karen Walter. She teaches at William T. Dwyer High School in Palm Beach County. Karen, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me today.
And finally, also joining us is Ebenson Michelin. He teaches at Key West High School in Monroe County, and he joins us via Skype. Ebenson, thanks again. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Louis. Thank you for having me.
All right. So first of all, I want to start by just, I'm going to go around the table and I want to get a sense of really how all of you are feeling. We're now into the school year, almost a month in, and I just want to kind of get a feeling of, you know, how, what you're thinking of. I mean, so many issues on the table this year, you know, when it comes to school safety, teacher pay. We're in an election year, and this is a big election, and so many other things. But all of you, the other thing that's interesting is that all of you have been teaching for quite some time. So you have an interesting perspective. LaShonda, you're here. I want to start with you, and I want to ask you, what are you feeling right now as a teacher? What excites you, but also what concerns you?
Well, what excites me is that I'm teaching world history for the first time, and I'm focusing on the younger groups in my school. So the curriculum is vast. We cover topics from ancient times up to modern day. So I'm super excited about this new challenge in being with my students.
What worries you most? What concerns you?
I am an advocate for school safety. I've been doing this for quite some time. And as you mentioned, the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas incident from last year is still troublesome. We want our schools to be safe. We want to do whatever we can to make them safe, but we don't want to turn our schools into prisons.
And that's an answer that we heard from a lot of students, especially from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, this idea of turning a campus into a fortified fortress to keep people out. Ebenson Michelin, how about you? You know, you told me it's an interesting, you know, scenario for you because you live in Key West, you work in Key West. you're in paradise, and you said it yourself. It's like, hey, working here, this is great. But tell me about what excites you, but also what worries you?
Well, one more time, Lewis, thank you for the opportunity. First of all, one of the things that excites me as a computer science teacher is the opportunity to expose my students to college-level course content and giving them a chance to, number one, get an academic training in Microsoft, in Adobe, and computer science, but on top of it all, giving them a chance to get an industry certification before they graduate high school, plus the chance of 3 college credits. But in terms of hindrance, I think that the teaching profession somehow is losing its respect in the students' eyes. What it used to be, it's not the same anymore, and that to me is a problem.
How people view teachers. This is an interesting conversation, too, to have that I hope to hit today. Amy Jacobson, you're our only middle school teacher on the panel, and so you have an interesting perspective. But tell me about what excites you and what worries you.
So to piggyback what my colleague from Key West just said, the journey of discovery is always what excites me, to see that light go off in my students' eyes and to know that they have a long journey ahead of them, and it's exciting to them. But that's also the problem, is selling it, marketing it, making everything fun so that it is exciting. And as my colleague, I'm sorry, I don't catch his name that quick.
Mr. Michelin, yeah. Evanson Michelin.
Mr. Michelin said it's about the students learning to respect themselves and each other so that we can have a safe and secure and respectful environment. Mm. It's not as easily done as it is said. Yeah. Theory is beautiful.
Absolutely. Good way to put it. And Karen Walter, again, from William T. Dwyer High. Tell us about, what you're looking forward to this year, but also what are you worried about?
Well, I look forward to every year. I think teaching is one of the most wonderful professions that we can have. Passing on generational knowledge from one group to the next group that's coming up is one thing that sets us aside as humans, and I feel it's an honor to be able to do that. Since Newtown, I have taken a few moments at the beginning of every semester and talked to my students about what would happen in case there was ever an active shooter event. I show a video. It's called Run, Hide, Fight. It's done by Homeland Security, and it's really good. It's really short, and since we go into those panic modes when that happens, I think it gives the student, I think it empowers them. So instead of having them cower in a corner or fear when something's going on, or even with drills. We have so many drills today that empowering students is more helpful than making them fearful.
It is a strange thing to say. I remember growing up as a kid in the 80s that, it was just a fire drill, and now you have more than fire drills. Now we have to live with the reality that there's shooter drills, and everybody has to learn how to survive in those. I want to throw the number back out again. It's 800-743-9576. I have a panel of teachers from throughout South Florida today devoted to teachers. We want to hear from you as well, your thoughts, whether you're a teacher or not, your thoughts on the profession. Is it respected? Are teachers respected? Do we need to do something about that? Or maybe you've got issue with the way teachers do things. You're a parent. Okay, share your thoughts. 800-743-9576. Again, find us on Facebook or Twitter at WLRN Sundown. Let's just go ahead and jump into safety, because everybody here brought up that issue. So right now there is the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas Safety Commission that is meeting. It's been meeting once a month, and it will meet throughout the rest of the year. It's supposed to come out with a report that tells us how can we make our schools safer. Let me just start with this. As teachers, and all of you have been teaching for a while now, do you feel safe at school? Do you feel like the campus is safe? Do you ever think about the idea that at some point somebody could walk in and just start shooting people, and that you may be in the crossfire? I mean, I want to get the sense of how you feel right now. LaShonda, let me start with you.
So our school is at open campus. It's almost impossible to secure all areas. What I like about the town of Cutler Bay and Miami-Dade Police, They have a partnership where we not only get our school resource officer from Miami-Dade County Public Schools, but we have local police personnel nearby if we ever feel threatened. So although our campus is open, I feel safe at my school.
You feel safe? You don't that thought never crosses your mind?
I mean, only in the times of crisis. So when you see it on the news, you're like, that could have been us. But to say that I think this will happen, obviously no one would ever want that to happen. And as of now, right now, I feel very confident that I'm safe in my school.
And I want to remind everybody that I want to keep this as an open conversation so that at any point, anybody can please chime in. Let me just go back to WXEL, our studios over there, Amy and Karen. You know, do you feel safe? Or, you know,
hey, Lewis, this is...
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry, this is Karen. I feel like on edge a lot. So very, you know, knowing that these things happen. And I think as humans, we have very short attention spans. So it's like one thing happens and then we forget about it and the next thing happens. And to me, that's a crazy way to live. So we should keep it in the foreground. And it's not our safety necessarily, but the children's. You know, Newtown just scared everybody to death. Babies, you know, getting shot and their teachers. And it's crazy. But unfortunately, this is a reality that happens, if not in our community, then other communities very often. And we need to at least be prepared to protect that which is around us every day, all the time.
And, you know, we talked about that that video. There's that training. And the training and the training is not just for schools. Mass shooter training is run, hide, or fight. Are you ready to fight?
Absolutely. Are
any of you ready to fight?
This is Karen again, and absolutely. I have my students look around the room. I say, find something that's a weapon, and you don't think about it until it's right there in front of you, but your writing utensil could be a weapon. So we have a plan in case someone does walk through our door. I'm grabbing a fire extinguisher that's very, very heavy, and then they are going to arm themselves with scissors or I'm doing dissection, scalpels.
Here's the thing. You're teachers. You're not trained in gun fights and battles. Cops and military are. That's the thought of that.
Here's Amy. I believe our job is to be nurturers. So it goes against my grain as a human being. I don't even fight over grades. How am I going to do that?
So this is LaShonda from Miami-Dade. I want to say I agree with my colleague who just spoke. And we are nurturers. We're going to do what it takes to protect our kids. As you've seen time and time again, teachers who are put in those situations, they put themselves as the shields for their kids. So to say this is what I would do in the moment of, I haven't been trained to do that. But I know at the end of the day, I'm supposed to protect my kids at all costs. So I will keep my door locked. I will shield my kids. And I hope that day never comes. But this is what I think we would do. If we're talking about it, but in the moment of it, we would never know what we would do.
Evanson, I want to hear from you as well on this and just your thoughts on, you know, you're right. LaShonda's right. Nobody knows what they're going to do in that situation. But, you know, what do you think about the fact that you're not just a teacher, nurturer, someone who's trying to pass on knowledge and prepare kids for the future? You may, I don't say this lightly because we've seen the story, especially from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas. Teachers couldn't fight back because they didn't have weapons, but they had to become shields.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, Lewis, to answer your question, do I feel safe? I would say yes. Yes. For many reasons. First of all, we are a very small community. Our law enforcement's response is less than 5 minutes. But the third reason is because our school is trained. The staff is, in terms of the run, fight, run, hide, fight policy. So the students know what to do. The teachers know what to do. And therefore, we have spent maybe two or three class periods in the past weeks to make sure that the students know. First of all, there'll be an announcement coming from our principal. And when they hear that announcement, they will be told if there was a danger, where the danger is on campus, so they know to run the opposite side. If they can't run, to find a spot to hide and secure themselves. And if by all means, if all fails, they have to fight, then they have to recourse to that. And I agree with my two colleagues that we are nurturers. Students come to us because they trust us. The parents trust us to educate their children. So once we start mixing our job description with what's happening in the news, then it starts getting blurry and then it defeats the whole purpose of education.
Let me go to the phones. I want to go to Mike in Fort Lauderdale, who's got a question about this idea of really school safety and the pressure on educators. Mike, thank you so much for holding on.
Thank you. I totally agree with the panelists who just spoke. Once we start mixing, in a sense, we've become security, and we've become teachers, and we're nurturers, and we're counselors. We're all of these things, and it really is blurry. Me personally, I have to say, I felt really, really nervous in the beginning of the school year, just anticipating all of the training and all of the talk as far as what I'll be responsible for, as far as defending students' lives. And I think things are really, really shaky. We've entered a realm that I don't think we've ever had to before. And as far as respect for educators, I think that's kind of like out the window in a sense.
Okay.
At the same time, I think the responsibility has come back on us for so much more. And it's a hard question because no one knows how to deal with it.
Yeah. Mike, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it. I know it's for a lot of teachers, it's a day off today, so I hope you enjoy it. And I do appreciate my panel for coming in. I know Mr. Michelin, actually, that Monroe County still has school today, so I know he had to get somebody to fill in for him on his sixth period, and again, I'm grateful. Just wanted to mention that today's discussion, we're spending the entire hour talking with teachers. We have teachers from all the districts here in South Florida. And, you know, we're just talking about really the state of the profession. We're just talking about the issues they're dealing with today. And, you know, really for the last 20 minutes, we've been talking about safety. Before we go to break, I want to throw the number out again, 800-743-9576. Or you can always post your comments or questions online. Find us on Facebook at WLRN Sundial. One other thing real quickly that I wanted to ask is this Marjorie Stoneman Douglas Commission, talking about all the different options, one of the things that came up in that meeting last week was what it's going to cost to secure schools. They think $2 billion and up, so that already, you know, you think, well, lawmakers in Tallahassee do that. But you know what? I mean, they talk about it's not just the resource officers every school has to have, which not every school can afford. It's should we put in metal detectors? Should we have the clear backpacks? What do we do? Just close down more doors? How do we make a campus safer? And I know that not all of you are following that commission, but obviously they're going to come out with a report in January. But logistically, can you make the campus safer? I haven't been on a campus in a long time. It's been a long time since I've been in school. But I remember my school was an open campus, and it was huge. And so can you really make it safer? Can you, what would you do? If I put you in charge of it, how would you do it? Amy, how would you make school safer?
That's great. Well, first and foremost, I'd love to introduce you to meet my students. They would really get a kick out of it. To make it safer, I think we have to fortify some of our open targets, if you will. I don't want to use that word. More fences, I suppose, and more possibly monitoring of videos and such like that, single entries, which they're working to build now in Broward County.
How do you, but Amy, how do you do all this without turning it into this fortress everybody's worried about?
Yeah, that's a great question. Possibly one of the is to make smaller schools easier to defend. I can do some research on history. I can plan a lesson, but this is not my area of expertise with security.
But I don't think it's anybody's. I think it's just
right.
This is just the tough answer we all have to answer these days. I'm curious, LaShonda, just real quickly. I mean, if you could make a campus safer, is it possible?
I don't know if it's possible. I've been educated through the Miami-Dade County Public School System, and I recall my experience at Rutland Junior High, Homestead Senior High, and now at Cutler Bay Senior High. And making schools smaller, even though it's a great thought, that's going to cost. Putting fences around, as we know, if someone's determined, unfortunately, to do harm, they're going to figure out a way. So even though our district superintendents and the partnerships we build, the bottom line is what I call is know the signs. If you have students who are facing difficulties, all stakeholders need to chime in and get the help that these students need. And maybe that will deter or lessen the threats that we have. But to say that there's a one answer or one fix, I don't think that's possible.
And as they said, this could cost billions of dollars to do, and that may be a feat that is out of our reach. You know, I got to take a quick break here. Again, talking to this amazing panel of teachers throughout South Florida today, talking about the profession of teaching, and wanted to get the input from teachers about, you know, their daily lives. We've been talking about safety. There's a lot of other things we want to cover. And again, you can find us on Facebook at WLRN Sundial. We're going to take a quick break, come back and continue this conversation and take your calls here on Sundial on WLRN. Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. Before we get to today's program about teachers, I want to tell you about an exciting new signature segment we're launching here on Sundial. Sundial's Live from the 305 will be a bi-monthly conversation about music performances with artists that make South Florida a culturally rich place. You'll hear jazz, hip-hop, folk, plus stories about touring around the world to make a name for yourself online, and we'll have music videos of the performances on our website and social media. That is coming this Thursday, so stay tuned. Now back to today's program. Again, we're devoting this entire hour talking to teachers, talking about the teaching profession and the things that teachers are thinking about a lot right now, whether it's school safety, teacher pay, and really how we can make schools better. And we've been hearing from people. For example, we heard from Daniel in Coconut Creek. He teaches history and government in a Florida middle school, and he had a comment on teacher pay and resources.
I am not struggling financially, but I know teachers who do, and I've seen how it affects their ability to serve students the way they would like to, doing what they love. They have to work a part-time job after class, so they have much less time for preparation and grading, and they are more tired. They have to leave teaching as a profession sometimes and do something else because it doesn't sustain the costs of getting married or buying a home or having children. We cannot have improvement in education in Florida with teachers who have to deal with these financial life problems.
And again, Daniel didn't want to share his last name, by the way, out of fear of retaliation from administration in Broward County. But I do appreciate his comment. And again, I want to introduce the teachers I have with me. I have LaShonda West from Miami-Dade County. Amy Jacobson teaches in Broward County. Evanson Michelin teaches in Monroe County. And Karen Walter joins us. She's from Palm Beach County. And so, you know, that's an interesting point that Daniel brings up. We've heard this a lot from teachers, and this may be why there's a struggle to get teachers, people to want to go into teaching profession. The last statistic that we saw, and I reported at the very beginning of the program, is that there were over 4,000 positions open in Florida schools. School districts are looking for teachers, and not a lot of people seem to want to go into the profession as they used to. Evanson, you said something very interesting at the very beginning, which was that teaching is not respected the way you were raised to respect it. Why not?
Well, that's a very difficult question. I wish I had the answer to that question, but it's an observation. Nevertheless, I do know in my classes, I have this rule and this policy. Students know that I have this three-strike rule. The first time I give you a warning. The second time I smile at you. The third time I write you up. And I call them sirs, and I call them ma'am, and I tell them the respect starts with me. I'm going to show you the respect that you do as young adults and as the you know, the future generation. So, but I expect the same from you.
So, Evanson, you're talking about students not respecting teachers. Do you think that people in general, taxpayers, do you think they respect teachers?
I think that's a very again, that's still part of that. It's very blurry. But from the interaction, I would say it's a mixed feeling. Some people are very thoughtful, very respectful. I remember last year, a parent, you know, stopped by the office and said, "Mr. Mission, do you need anything? Is there any supply that I can buy for your classes?" And that was very touching. And that one parent made the difference, for my class.
Right.
But at the same time, you have people that just, It's like, well, if you could do better, you would have chosen to not be a teacher. So you're a teacher because there's nothing else you can do.
I want to hear from my teachers here. I mean, does society in general respect you as a teacher? Do we respect teachers anymore?
Hey, Lewis, this is Karen.
Go ahead, Karen.
So I feel that it's schools first are microcosms of your community. So culturally, I have students that are Indian heritage, other areas around that part of the world. They are very respectful towards all of their teachers. I have students from islands. Any of the islands, you'll find the Caribbean islands, you'll find that students are very respectful. And when it comes to Native Americans, not Native Americans, but us born and raised in America, that there's a wide spectrum of respect from students. So you either get a little, you get some, or you get great respect.
Well, what about the fact that universities now say that enrollment for people who want to go into education is down, and again, over 4,000 positions available. Mr. Michelin just said it a second ago, is that there are people who just, you fall into teaching. You don't want to go into teaching. It's just, well, I have nothing else to do, or I wasn't good at what I did. This is a fallback?
No, that's not true. I think teachers have a calling, and they feel much like the ministry that they are called to teach. This isn't for most of the teachers that I know. So a lot of the teachers I know could have been doing other things their entire life, and they chose to stay here and battle this out. The problems with teaching and disrespect and low pay, we can place that blame squarely on our legislatures here in Florida. And we are number 46. They keep saying that we've come up in the ranks, and we haven't. All of this testing stuff is getting us absolutely nowhere. And, of course, the disrespect of teachers hasn't gotten us very far with 4,000 openings either.
Yeah. Let me.
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead. Amy, did you want to jump in?
So my thoughts were, why is this happening? The only blame, I don't like to assign blame too often, is with instant technology, we all want immediate responses. Our students do. Our parents do. The moment you load a score into the online grade book, why did he get a B? Why did he get a C? And I think that we just need to respect these boundaries. My team of colleagues at school are now starting to tell parents, sometimes you need to give us the weekend to catch up. Or they take the flip side and say, please respect the fact that I have a family and I don't spend my weekends catching up grades. They'll be posted Monday through Friday between such hour and such hour and, period, the end. To make us real, just to say, we're human beings also.
Yeah, I agree with Amy totally.
Yeah. I want to go to the phones real quickly. I have a Lisa from Hollywood who actually wants to share real quickly about how difficult it's for her to become a teacher. Lisa, you there?
Hi, good afternoon.
Yeah, tell us your story. What happened?
Hi, I just graduated in May with my bachelor's in psychology, and I decided I wanted to go into education, and I tried to become certified to become a teacher, and the process was not clear. It was very difficult. As I stand right now, I still do not know. My status is open, but I don't know what that means. And I had to go a different route, with my career. So I feel like part of the problem of getting teachers is that the process isn't even easy or easy enough for people like me who are college educated to be successful at completing it.
All right. Lisa, first of all, I mean, sorry that you're going through this, but I want to hear from this panel. What do you tell Lisa? What's going on?
This is LaShonda from Miami-Dade. Just be encouraged, Lisa. There is paperwork involved. Even as a teacher, to do my certificate renewal, I have to do paperwork. And I just earned my Ed Specialist degree. And although the state of Florida recognizes it, I cannot put it on my certificate until another year. So I don't know if it's truly frustrating, but just stick to it. Because if your heart is in the right place, then teaching is for you. So.
Okay, so she says be patient. There's some, I guess, some hoops you have to jump through. By the way, Lisa, did you have to take the general knowledge test, or did you already do it?
Well, to her point, it's not the problem isn't with the amount of work to get to it. It's that I don't even know. Nobody's communicated where I stand or what I'm missing. And no, I never got to take any tests. I paid $150 non-refundable to get certified in two subjects. And I have no idea where I stand. I have no documents telling me what transcripts I'm missing or what I'm missing to go forward. So, you know, they're potentially losing out on a qualified candidate just because they can't update a status online telling me you're missing this one transcript from X school or, you know, yeah, something like that. Yeah.
All right. Well, Lisa, please keep in touch with us and let us know what that process is like for you and if you're able to get through. And I appreciate you sharing that story with us. I don't know if anybody else wanted to, you know, say anything else on that or, you know, is it tough? Is it tough to get in to become a teacher?
This is Karen.
Yeah.
This is Karen again.
Go ahead.
If Lisa starts applying for positions, administrators that are at school spaces will be able to help her finish up.
Okay. All right. Again, hopefully.
May I add, Lewis, I think that one of the things that worked for me is that when I couldn't get a clear answer in a timely fashion, I ended up calling. And they were very friendly with me, and I was able to figure out where I was in the process, even though their website wasn't updated.
Is it district by district? Is that what it is?
I think she's talking about the state website.
Okay, I see. Mm-hmm. All right. So she's going through that process. Again, I did not realize that. That's an interesting point. She raises a couple things. I come back to this idea, too, again, about, you know, how many people want to go into teaching. And, I wondered, too, is it just the pay? Because we heard Daniel earlier talk about it's just hard to make it in some districts, especially in some cities. It's hard to make it on what they're paying. And so is it simply just pay or is it something else? I mean, are we spending enough on students? Florida doesn't rank. I think we're middle of the pack, if not a little bit lower, when it comes to per pupil spending. I mean, is that what it is? What's missing?
I would always say students deserve more and students deserve better. If we want to bring them up, that should all be our goal. I don't think you can ever err on that side.
Right now we have voters are going to decide in some districts, they're going to decide, about taxes, property tax increases to give teachers raises. And so, you know, the last poll I saw, the majority, about 52-53%, depending on the poll you read, most people are for it. That they teachers deserve better. We're also seeing teachers around the country in different states striking because they feel like, hey, we deserve better. You can't strike in the state of Florida, though. But what do you see happening, you know, in this past year? Because these are things that we haven't seen in many years. What do you see happening in the teaching profession around the country and around here in the state of Florida? What's going on?
This is Karen again. Martin County did pass their referendum, so they are going to be, the taxpayers did say that they were going to pay more for security and for teacher raises and for retention. That's the other thing, is teachers will stay in 3 to 5 years and then they exit. So right when you've got a teacher that is experienced and starting to feel comfortable in their skin, they're out of there because they're not making enough money or found out the profession wasn't for them. So we're looking at ways of retention. Palm Beach County has it on our November ballot, a local tax, property tax, that will raise teacher salaries and provide for more security also. I'm not familiar with what's happening in Broward and Dade.
All right. LaShonda.
So similar to what Karen just said, Miami-Dade has a ballot initiative, and it's to increase property taxes for 4 years for security and teachers' pay. Our per pupil spending is down, and so to make up for the money for that and plus teacher pay, the district decided to take initiative to put money where it belongs in our schools and with the teachers.
And so one of the things, by the way, and we talk about money and spending for schools, spending for students, is obviously this, we come back to school safety, because again, now the law says schools have to have this security on campus. And if it's not a police officer, it's going to be the SRO, which is the school resource officer. But school districts are saying, well, we can't afford this. And we've heard of schools that now are pulling money from programs to pay for this. So, I mean, and I've already heard, I've heard plenty of stories over the years, too, of teachers not having the resources they need. But, you know, is this still, before the, even before the security issue, is this still a problem, you know, where you didn't have enough funding for supplies, you didn't have enough funding for all the programs that needed, you didn't, as teachers, have the resources you need to do your job? Evanston, let me start with you.
Well, last month there was a vote in Monroe County, and the people have spoken, and they voted yes for an increase in real estate taxes, so that we'll have enough money for the school resource officers. As of right now, here at Key West High School, we have a fabulous SRO, Janet Delsid. She's great with us, and she also is very connected with the police department, so that whatever the case may be, we have an officer that can connect us with the right people.
You know, the other thing, too, is, Evanston, you teach computer science, and so, I mean, talk about expense, but, I mean, do you have everything you need? Are the students using the best tools?
Well, I am also, as I mentioned earlier in this interview, our program here at Key West High and in the Monroe County School District, we are fortunate enough to be a part of, to receive part of the CAPE fund, so that our students that certify, part of the money comes back to the program. So the program generates its own funds. So the supplies and the tools that we need, my computer science program gets to generate its own fund every year to acquire new tools.
And the rest of you, I'm just curious as to, you know, how much out of pocket do you have to spend?
A ton. We've become hoarders. You know, I have curriculum for all three middle school levels, reading and the social sciences. So because something new is new, it doesn't necessarily make it better. I have a textbook in my room that was two iterations ago, and it's probably one of the better textbooks that I use as a resource. I think I mentioned this to you, Lewis. Teachers are the MacGyvers of any profession. You give us, you know, a roll of blue painter's tape and some old construction paper, we're going to figure out how to make something beautiful out of it. There's never enough resources, and we do have to spend an awful lot out of pocket. There are parents who are very generous sometimes, and I happen to be fortunate that I work for a terrific principal who tries to make things happen. If you have a proposal, she'll address it. She can't promise, but she can bring it up to the PTA, or she'll at least keep an open mind, which is an open door.
LaShonda, real quickly.
So I like what Karen said. We are truly MacGyvers in our own stance. I have reached out to a lot of nonprofits because I do project-based learning. This is to scaffold students' creative thinking and bridging it to the content. So I spend time after time to write grants through, like, companies, Donors Choose, the Education Fund, because there's no way that, even though my principal is great, he doesn't have money to cover every single program, reading program, intervention program for this student and that student. So it would be unfair to say, fund my project to tackle school safety through the Sandy Hook initiative. So you have these thoughts about how to implement it. You need money. So I have to write grants to support any programs I put in my classroom.
And that's part of the Stoneman Douglas Act.
Yes.
Again, talking to teachers today, spending the whole hour talking about, you know, what challenges teachers face every single day and how those challenges have changed over the years. And of course, you know, what they're looking for to be able to continue to follow their passion, because for them, it's not a job. It's more than that, as we've heard. So we're going to continue this conversation and take more of your calls coming up next here on Sundial on WLRN. Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. Again, today we are devoting the show to teachers. We're talking to teachers throughout South Florida about their profession and the challenges they face day to day. I'm joined by LaShonda West, who teaches at Cutler Bay Senior High School. Amy Jacobson is a teacher at Seminole Middle School in Broward County. Ebenson Michelin teaches at Key West High School. And Karen Walter teaches at William T. Dwyer High School in Palm Beach County. And again, we want to hear from you, your thoughts. You can find us on Facebook at WLRN Sundial. Share your thoughts and continue the conversation there as well. I want to start by going to the phones real quickly. I want to go to, I believe it's Rain in Kendall.
Hi, yes, this is Rain De Lima.
Okay.
I live in Kendall, but I actually teach at a very good little elementary school called Sylvania Heights Elementary, where we the principal supports us in every way she can. But I want to say that the politicians are not supporting us. They are deliberately supporting charter schools. And if you were to highlight a separate program, you will see how the charter schools get their funding from the politicians here in Florida. We are bending over backwards in our classrooms. We're trying to get, my school has a Cambridge designation. They're working to get STEAM designation. I think we have a silver designation in STEAM. The teachers are really going out of their way.
So we talk about lawmakers. I apologize, Rain, only because of time. And so you bring up an interesting point. Let's ask the panel on this.
Yes.
Okay, so look, you know, this is a big election year, and we have two very, you know, different views on education when we talk about the governor's race. But, you know, Rain talked about this issue of, we've seen this legislature over the years now, going back a couple of governors, push hard on or for charter schools and for school choice. And so really, I just want to get a sense of, you know, is this a sticking point with a lot of teachers in public schools? Is this a big issue? Does it really hamper you? I'd really love to hear your thoughts on all of this.
This is Karen. I have gone to meetings with teachers of charter schools. We have a joint beginning thing with science teachers, and I feel bad for them because they get even less money than we do. So I think all teachers, it doesn't matter what position you're in, you still want the best for your kids. And charter schools do suck money from the public budget, and they are not held accountable the same way. Correct. We've seen all the corruption. It's been crazy, the corruption. So we need, they definitely, if we're going to have charter schools, they need more oversight. It's our tax dollars that are going to them, and a lot of people are putting it in their pocket.
So this is LaShonda from Miami-Dade. I agree with Karen. Accountability needs to be across the board. If you're teaching public schools, students, then accountability applies across. That's equity. Also, because public schools cannot take private dollars, if charter schools are charter schools and they're going to be public schools taken from the same pot, they should not take private dollars, because now you're getting double dips. And so where the charter schools have this big pot of money, public schools is very limited. And it is a political issue, unfortunately. And I know people who work for charter schools, and they're not all bad. But we need to identify, if charter schools are going to continue to receive private funds, they should not be taking out of public dollars.
You know, the other thing, too, is this, because we, you know, we talk about the legislature. So a lot can change, obviously, in this upcoming election. But the legislature has been controlled by one party for a long time now. You know, I don't know how much teachers get involved politically. I don't know if you're even allowed to say much of anything. But, you know, this is a big election for some people. Most of the time, midterms is not. But some people think this is a big one, and there's a lot at stake. But I don't know. For you, is it something that you think about? Do you think that either party is going to make a difference in making things better for teachers? I'm waiting to see who wants to jump in on that one.
Okay. So Amy will try this one.
Go for it, Amy.
As a civics teacher, I can only encourage students and future generations to get involved, to make their voice heard. Without giving kudos to either party. It really, you said it, we're a state that's not allowed to strike. We have a union that's incredibly weak because it's we're being busted left and right. there's legislation going on that says if we don't have 50% membership, the union's going to go away. And then we will get stuck, like the charter school teachers making $27,000 a year, which honestly, for as the caller called in, for the amount of tests we have to take and education we have to put in and continuing education, that's not a standard we can live on.
Yeah. And just real quickly, you know, again, I'm not asking anybody here where you stand on anything, but as teachers, are you allowed to? Or there are strict rules about what you can even do. And you think about even activism, because after Parkland, we saw this amazing activism from the students. But as teachers, can you?
This is Karen again. The thing that I'm amazed by is apathy, voter apathy. So as a teacher of 17 and 18-year-old students, the main thing I encourage is for them to get registered to vote. Now, the first time that they vote, they're probably going to mirror their parents' vote. And that's what I tell them. Your parents deserve another vote for getting you to the age that you are. So just vote the way your parents tell you to. So the apathy is what kills me.
Let me, because I'm running out of time, and I wanted to get to this question with each of you, is I wanted to get a sense of really where the profession is going. I mean, so many things are changing because of technology, you know, but I'm just curious as to what you think the profession of teaching is going to be like in the next 10, 20, 30 years, and why you want to still keep doing it. And you know what, Emerson, I'm going to start with you. Since you're a guy in computers, tell me, you know, what do you, because look, I mean, we always hear about, well, robots are coming. So what do you think? What do you think is the future of education? Where do you want it to go?
Well, one thing I can say that might put, that might help with the issue is it is guaranteed that a physical body in the classroom is not going anywhere anytime soon, no matter how fancy or advanced artificial intelligence is. So this is not really a big concern. Nevertheless, I think that teachers should equip themselves and train themselves and stay up to par with technology so that they can use the tool better on one side. On the other side, I think that the parents in the community should be very well informed and aware that no matter how advanced technology is, nothing can replace a live teacher in a classroom giving the students I would simply add, pep talks cannot be delivered by an AI.
And real quickly, Evanson, just real quickly, are you optimistic?
About the
teaching?
Future?
About teaching?
Oh, yes, of course.
Okay.
I do believe that, yes, the profession is not going anywhere.
Amy, real quickly, you, what's the future? What do you think?
The future is going to be difficult, I believe. We're going to have to do more with less, and we're just going to have to keep trying to advocate for our students.
And not just for your students, but what, you know, we talked about, how about you
for
guys?
For ourselves.
Okay.
For ourselves. We have to stay together. We have to support each other. There's nothing better than seeing the light go off in a student's eyes. I think that's what pushes us. And there's nothing better than working with a group of like-minded colleagues who are your support.
Yeah.
Because I think another thing that most of the general public doesn't understand, we're by ourselves most of the day.
Yeah.
And when we can connect with our colleagues and we collaborate and the magic happens, that's what keeps us going.
All right. LaShonda, you, what do you think? What's coming up in the future here? What do we need to see?
So like Evanson, I also teach courses in technology, the STEAM. iPrep Academy leaders, so I am going to take the pessimistic view.
Okay.
That I see computers taking over. Like in Japan, you have actual computers, robots, checking people into hotels, taking orders at restaurants. So I see us as being disposable, and that's why we don't have the respect that we have and deserve.
And Karen, real quickly.
I have a totally opposite opinion from that. I think the pendulum is totally swung in the other direction now, and it's starting to swing back. The weight does rest on our legislatures and who we put in office, and they need to be those that are favorable to education. You can never replace a teacher in the classroom.
And
ever.
I'm gonna I'm going to have to end it there only because of time, but what a great mix of answers on that. I really appreciate it. Again, I heard from Amy Jacobson from Seminole Middle School in Broward County, LaShonda West, Cutler Bay Senior High School in Miami-Dade, Ebbinson, Michelin at Key West High School, and Karen Walter at William T. Dwyer High. Thank you so much, all of you. I really appreciate
it. Thank you, Lewis.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us, Lewis.
And that is the program for today. I'm Lewis Hernandez. Have a wonderful day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.